buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio on the other side of the glass, producing and engineering our program. Here we are with our midweek edition on May 2nd in the merry month of May 2018, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI. We call it Tucson's Voice, and we have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course, KVOI.com has 24/7 listening for all of our programs here, and we do 6 hours of local talk here on a daily basis. All of my programs are conveniently archived for you to listen on your schedule 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Pretty much every show we have done since January 2011 here on the radio. 790-2040, that is our live line number. If you have any comments or questions, you are we'd love to have you on the program. Just give us a call. But right now, let's go on the live line. Kevin Dahl is with us. Kevin is the Arizona Program Manager for the National Park Conservation Association here in Arizona. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. This effort that's been going on to try to protect our saguaros from theft has now involved some microchip IDs similar to those in pets. How many have been installed, these chips, in our saguaros?
They put 1,000 chips in strategically chosen saguaros, so it's not it's not all the 10,000 saguaros you'll find in the national park, but the ones that are most likely to be stolen, ones that are close to the road, ones that are a little smaller and perhaps easier to dig up. You know, this is just one sort of public theft that the parks have to deal with, whether it's petrified wood from the Petrified Forest National Park or, you know, sacred military items left on Getty Field, Gettysburg Battlefield, that, you know, surreptitious metal detectorists are looking for. So it's a great effort that the park is doing to discourage landscape material thieves from taking saguaros and selling them to commercial places or for people's home landscaping.
And there's money in it for these thieves. I understand it goes, some of these saguaros go for, $100 a foot. Is that correct?
Yeah. And when you get upwards towards 30 feet, you know, that's a lot of money. Though it's really hard to move the largest ones. But say a 10 or 20 foot one, that's some bucks. And it's happened. And that's why the park has had to respond. We're so fortunate to have the Park Service, to have this park system in place with professionals who are protecting the parks and protecting visitors who are enjoying the parks as well.
So these microchips will not have tracking devices, but it's more of an effort that if these thieves want to then resell saguaros, they would then be identified as coming from the park.
Yeah, if there's an iffy situation and investigators, and we do have cactus cops, the state have a couple of people on staff who enforce our national native plant protection laws, and saguaros are protected under that. They have to be tagged as the source. Which gets kind of funny. A friend of mine was once complaining that the people up in the foothills are so snooty because there was a road project and all the native plants had these tags indicating they came from a good source. And she thought they were price tags, and they left the price tags on them to show how expensive they were.
The park is doing very well. 2017, you had a record number out there pushing almost 1 million visitors, which is wonderful for the Tucson area.
It's a huge draw. It brings in a lot of people, people who are here for other reasons to come to conventions. They often take the time to visit Saguaro National Park. There are people who want to visit all of the 59 national parks who come here just to see Saguaro. And people, you know, saguaros are iconic. You know, every Western, whether it's appropriate or not, has a saguaro in the background. You know, you see saguaros in Monument Valley where they don't belong in the old John Wayne Westerns, but people from across the country and around the world, Europeans in particular, love to come to Tucson and get a taste of the Old West, and Saguaro is certainly part of that experience.
And as the Arizona program manager, you're not just overlooking or concerned with Saguaro. You had mentioned the Petrified Forest National Park near Holbrook, where there was a photo mapping system now tracking whether visitors are taking fossilized wood. And that is, over the years, that has been a huge issue, hasn't it, Kevin?
It has. And until they did this mapping, they compared maps, photos from 40, 50, 60 years ago to modern day photos to see whether much has gone. We thought it was a bigger problem. It's not a huge problem. Most people are very good. Everybody who enters the park gets a little, not just a flyer. The person taking their money at the kiosk says, "Do you have any petrified forest in your car? Because you can't take it out of the park. And if you have some, just make sure you have your receipt from where you bought it from the local rock shop." Why we thought it was a big problem, because over the years, people have felt guilty about pocketing a few pieces, and they've mailed them back to the park with all sorts of great stories about, you know, "This has cursed me. I want to return it. Please put it back where I got it." And, of course, they can't. It ruins any scientific value. So there's a big pile, a big, beautiful pile of this wood that maybe someday will be part of an art project. But right now, it's just a reminder to everybody that people feel guilty when they steal from the public, you know?
Yeah, and if you're at all superstitious, I had heard that over the years about it's bad luck to take the petrified wood out of the park.
Or saguaros out of saguaro, or even, you know, spray paint them or chop them up with a machete, which, as you know, we've had happen in our park as well.
Entrance fees going up in the parks next year, was that formalized?
Yes, and it varies per park when it goes into effect, and most of them are $5, so it's a very reasonable fee. It was first projected like it's at Grand Canyon to go from 35 to 75, which is way too high. So my organization, you know, which is advocates for the parks, we're pretty much okay with this gentle increase. The fees are used to support visitors in the park, and in particular, a lot of them will be used for the backlog of maintenance. You know, the Congress hasn't been appropriating enough money, so bathroom facilities, great old lodges, other things haven't gotten the attention that they need, so we have this deferred maintenance.
All right, Kevin, looking forward, I'm sure, to a very beautiful summer. Of course, it'll be hot, but that's Arizona. But as far as the parks are concerned, it's always a big draw because we have so many, actually, national parks within Arizona. I don't know if it's more than any other state, but it's close, isn't it?
It's pretty close. California, I think, beats us by a couple. But we have three national parks and about 20 more national monuments and memorials and historic parks. And protecting these beautiful landscapes like Saguaro, but also our history and the culture of people who lived here before this was the United States as well.
Where can people find out more about your organization?
It's pretty simple. NPCA.org, www.npca.org, are the initials of my organization.
For the National Parks Conservation
Association.
There you go. Kevin Dahl, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, I want to tell our listeners about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's. Mona's Danish Bakery. It's home of the Danish Kringle. Many people have been asking me, well, what is a Danish Kringle? I'm going to let you find out by going up to the wonderful Mona's Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Steve is and his wife Sherry own the place, and Steve, along with his team of bakers, get up very early in the morning to do all that baking, all the wonderful European-type breads for your sandwich. Right now at noon would be a great time during the noon hour to go by Mona's. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link there to Mona's Danish Bakery and also a link to all of our fine partners here on the Buckmaster Show. We are right at 12:14. We're going to go to the state legislature in a moment, speaking with State Senator Steve Smith about what's the latest now with the budget and the teacher strike, right after this. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us on Thursday for a newsmaker interview with Diane Douglas, Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. Plus, our monthly visit with comet discoverer Dr. David Levy. Buckmaster airs noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI with anywhere in the world live listening at buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show, 18 minutes now past noon. Let's go right up to the state capitol. State Senator Steve Smith, who is a Republican representing the community of Maricopa, is with us on the live line. Senator Smith, how are you, sir?
Bill, how are you, my friend? Thank you so much.
Doing very well. I know you're very busy.
You believe we're on the Senate floor in about 38 seconds to go and vote, so I will... I'm giving you a live from the horse's mouth as it's coming out right here.
All right. Well, give me what's going on, if you would, please, on the budget.
Yes. Well, so we passed the budget out of our Appropriations Committee yesterday. Late last night, I think the House was for about 12 hours, from about 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., and we passed it out after we passed out the school safety bill. And the long and short of it is, Bill, now we still have to vote it out officially as a whole body, but what we passed out last night included the full 20% pay raise in the budget, in the baseline, inflated as well. That's going to come out to about $1.4 billion over the next three fiscal years is what it comes out for the teacher raise. There's an additional over $500 million in additional assistance for the schools over that same period of time as well. And when you add up all the K-12 funding over that time, it's over $2 billion with a B dollars that is going directly to K-12 and, of course, the 20% teacher pay at the 20% by the year 2020.
And this is not. This apparently is enough for the teachers to say, okay, we're going to go back to the classroom tomorrow. That's your understanding?
Well, you know what, Bill? I can't tell you how disappointing it was when we were in committee yesterday. I actually had some people in the Red for Ed movement in T-shirts show up to committee and say, this is an insult. It's not what we wanted. We reject this offer. And to which I just had to scratch my head and say, I'm sorry. There's over $2 billion in funding, the full 20% pay raise, effectively 10% this year and then 10% over the next 24 months. Additional over $500 million in additional pay over that same time. All of these things, and it's still not good enough. And so we had some, most Democrats, I think all but one voted for it. Voted against it in committee. And so we'll see what happens. But the teachers need to know they got exactly what they asked for, the 20% pay raise, along with a significant amount of additional funding.
Well, the teachers were saying they just don't trust this plan, but now it will be signed into law, correct?
You know, and that's exactly right. So it passed the first hurdle yesterday in committee. And again, when they say, hey, we don't trust this, hey, yeah, we think we'll get our 9% this year or the total of 10% from what was put in last year, they'll say, well, we're only going to get that. They're actually going to not give us the remaining 10%. Again, that is completely false because this money is put into the baseline, into the K-12 formula, embedded in the budget, inflated as well, so includes inflation too. And so if anybody want to make that claim, they're completely false. So the money that was in here is effectively guaranteed and protected by the way it's embedded into the budget.
A lot of the Democrats say you're public enemy number one right now, Senator Steve Smith, because the amendment that you are pushing, they say, will gut that bill that concerns comprehensive school and public safety plan.
Well, once again, Bill, you know, it's they're not being honest with you. And so I introduced and we passed out of the body yesterday the school safety plan in light of the recent mass shootings across our country. And for 6 hours, I debated on the floor about what the bill does. And I'll just be very brief with you, but it does two main components. If there's a suspected person who's got evidence that, hey, this person might actually go and shoot up some people, law enforcement can submit evidence to a judge, a Superior Court judge, by clear and convincing evidence that this person is an immediate and dangerous threat. To go pick up that person and start a process that could potentially start that person, if they fail a mental eval, if the judge deems it, to separate them from any, you know, weapons if they think you're really going to go kill somebody. The part we took out was who can report it. There was a part that we said, well, how about a family member or a teacher or this or that? And we said, you know what? The most appropriate place is for law enforcement to report it. So that same family member or teacher that sees something or suspects something would do what they would probably do today and call law enforcement, and law enforcement takes that to the judge. And the reason we did that, there may have been some due process concerns that some people were uncomfortable with, and we changed that. But the fact of the matter is, the original language that had all the previous things I just spoke about in the bill, every Democrat voted against it in committee. So if they want to say that, it was a perfect bill before, then why didn't they vote for it before?
Let's see if Ingrid, we can work Ingrid in here with a quick question for Senator Smith.
Oh,
go ahead, Ingrid.
Gosh.
Yes.
I have so many. Is it true that school employees travel to Phoenix and elsewhere in school buses? And is it true that state officials withheld the state's budget books from those people seeking to examine them?
Oh, yeah, Bill and ma'am, I don't know a thing about that. That's the first time I've ever heard of it. And so I would have no idea who those officials were, who they asked. I can tell you this, anybody who's ever called my office, and this isn't just this week or recently, this has been my standing policy since the day I got elected, If you have a question, if you want to meet with me, if you want to talk something, you want to look at something, you call my office, you get a phone call or a meeting, whichever one you get. I would just say be cautious. There is a lot of things being said that are not true, just like what I just talked about, the education formula. And Bill, I'll have you know, too, in that school safety bill, every Democrat voted against the bill on the floor, just like they did in committee, which prevented this bill from enacting an emergency clause that could have provided additional resource officers in our schools immediately, training for our teachers immediately, and every one of them voted it down.
Yeah, and you have been running a spot here on our station saying that you want to hear from people. You've even given out your cell phone, I believe.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, again, we've been doing that since day one. I got billboards on the side of the road. I put signs up everywhere, and we've been doing this forever. I put out weekly announcements in the Senate since the day I got here years ago that say all those things. Because, listen, if people can't get a hold of you, what good are you? If you can't help people, what good are you? And so we've always tried to say, you know, hey, we're 100% transparent. If we can help with anything, be sure to let me know. And that's exactly what we're going to continue to do.
And you are still a candidate for Congress in CD2, correct?
In CD1.
CD1. Excuse me, CD1. The huge, very...
Yes, Martha McSally was in 2, and she's leaving that.
That's
CD1
right.
CD1 is just north of that, yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sometimes... But CD1 is a huge district.
Yes.
And we'll...
Yes.
Yeah.
That's from your neck of the woods straight up to the four corners. Oh, yeah, it's insane.
I know you have to run. Matthew has a quick question. Matthew, we're going to keep this... Go ahead, Matthew.
Very quickly, Senator Smith, there's a bill, HB... 2559, to help workforce development. All the real estate people here in Pima County need that bill passed. Several letters to the governor from the real estate and the development community. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Do you know anything about that, Senator Smith?
You know, I don't, because at this time of year, so many bills change numbers, but I will let you know that I'm working on the Construction Workforce Development Initiative, which is that massive initiative getting people into the trades again. And so this bill and any bill that's even remotely like it, we fully support it. But if Matthew could kindly give me a call, either at my office or I'd love to just give a report back, I'm sure I absolutely support it. But again, at this point in the year, the bills change their number, so it's hard to track it. But anything workforce development related, rest assured, that's the thing I've been working on the most the last 2 years.
All right. I know you have a vote right now on the Senate floor. I appreciate it. Senator Smith, we'll let you go. Thank you, sir.
Look at this, Bill. I just pressed my button, and I voted again. So look at that. I can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Whoa.
Can you believe it?
Right from the Senate floor. Senator Steve.
That's right. Literally live from the Senate floor. Yes,
there,
sir.
There you go. Senator Steve Smith. When do you think the budget, we think that will be taken care of by the end of the day?
You know, I think we're going to do what's called the Committee of the Whole, which now the entire body will discuss the budget. So the committee discussed it yesterday, which I was on, the Appropriations Committee, which we passed it. And now the entire body is going to discuss it in an open debate where we get to look at amendments and things like that. I believe that's going to happen today. And then after that, I'm going to guess tomorrow the entire budget will be voted on. And I would just say for any teacher or parent that's out there or students in school, if your teachers aren't back in their classroom yet, I would just highly encourage it, because what the governor said weeks ago is actually coming true and has been true. I have publicly stated that I would not vote for a budget that did not have the 20% pay raise in there. I did last night. I've kept my word. Governor's kept his word. Legislature's keeping their words. Let's get our kids back in school, and let's finish out the school year strong.
All right. State Senator Steve Smith, have a great rest of the day. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. God bless you all.
Thanks a lot. Steve Smith, who represents Maricopa, the city of Maricopa, and he is also a candidate for Congress in that very sprawling CD1 as a Republican. But we'll talk with him about that later on after this session wraps up. Right now, I want to tell you quickly about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Makes a great getaway midweek. Why not? Doesn't have to be the weekend. You've got some time off. It's only a three-hour drive over to historic Silver City. So much to do. It's a relaxing, lovely environment. And earlier we were talking with Kevin Dahl about national monuments. Well, the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, which is a beautiful drive just north of Silver City, is on a must-see list of our national monuments. One of the first, I think Teddy Roosevelt signed that into law, the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of the great places to stay and the many things to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Coming up next, the president of the University of Arizona, Dr. Robert Robbins, will be with me in studio. You are more than welcome to call us at 790-2040 with any UA questions or comments. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. All right, welcome back. back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our pleasure to welcome the president of the University of Arizona, Robert Robbins. Dr. Robbins, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. It's always good to have you on the program. It's my goal to try to get you here every quarter, and I've been pretty consistent about that. And so there's so much to talk about, because let's begin with this is your first full academic year. You've got commencement coming up next Friday.
That's right.
So that's always great. So give me kind of your view of how you would characterize year one of your University of Arizona presidency.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say how incredibly grateful I am to the Regents and all of the people who care deeply about the University of Arizona for having this opportunity. I hope I get to have a second one and a third one and a fourth one and keep going. But I'll tell you that it's been the most fulfilling professional part of my career.
Really?
To be here, without question.
With all of your work with the heart surgery and all
right.
of that, but you're saying this is the, if I may, the pinnacle of your professional career.
Without question. Yep. I was just in a at the annual cardiothoracic surgery meeting over in San Diego for the last couple of days. Today's the last day of it. And people are just so intrigued about what I'm doing and understand the force multiplier of having not just one patient at a time or 100 medical students every year, but 45,000 students that you can be a part of helping build programs and infrastructure that serve them to help them improve their life and prepare them for this ever-changing, rapidly changing world.
So you were seeing cardiologists that you've known probably for years over at this event in San Diego, and they came up to you and said, how you doing? How do you like Arizona? Is it a big shift for you? Do you miss being in the operating room? And what did you tell these people?
Well, I said that, again, it's the most, I wish I could have done this, you know, 10 years ago, and that it is been the best year of my professional life, and I am having so much fun. I really am having so much fun and getting incredible joy from the work that I get to do and the privilege to do every day, and that the people of Arizona, and particularly the people who love the university, have been so supportive, so welcoming. And so, you know, we've had struggles. There are always going to be opportunities and challenges. But I would just say that this has been a tremendous year for me. And I think for the university, it's been a very positive positive year as well. I hear that we're going to have probably the largest attendance at commencement of any time since it's moved to the stadium. So I'm very upbeat and optimistic about the future of the university.
Well, it goes back now, the graduation being in the stadium, and I'll go back ancient history to my undergraduate days at the University of Arizona, graduating in the class of 1969. Bob laughed. Bob Dio, my engineer, laughing on the other side of the glass. But the point is, it was fun going through the graduation ceremony at Arizona Stadium.
Right.
And that experience now is kind of coming back.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be particularly joyous for me. You know, I always hope that we would be celebrating a few national championships, and we still got more to go left in the, you know, baseball, softball, and other sports. But there's something about the process of commencement and graduation that is so exciting and so celebratory about incredible accomplishments that our students have made, and a lot of sacrifice and hard work on the part of their parents, their family, And we need to provide value and make sure that we're good stewards of the money that they've invested in their children's education.
And that's my next question. Okay, it's wonderful to go to, you know, to go through with the graduation, but then the morning after is the reality of, okay, yeah, I need a job, right?
Right.
Am I going to have a job? How are we doing in putting our students, our graduating students, into meaningful employment?
Yeah, and so this is one of the things that I think is overlooked. I just got back from the AAU, American Association for Universities, not the other AAU that's got a bad name in the basketball world, but there are 60 top U.S. universities and two Canadian universities, University of Toronto and McGill University, that are in the American Association of Universities, the true top-tier universities in the country. And, of course, University of Arizona is one of those 60 U.S. schools. There was a great talk by one of the guys at Gallup who focuses on higher education about data around the value of a college education, because that's come under attack. And I'm here to tell you there is great value, particularly at the University of Arizona or Arizona State or NAU, because what's written into our Constitution, we need to make higher education as nearly free as possible. So I think we're delivering a very valuable product. But to answer your question directly, we're doing really well. And certainly, places like the Eller School, I meet students who had jobs even in beginning of the year last year. As starting seniors, they already had commitments for jobs.
You telling me their junior year, they were already set for their
well,
plan?
Well, the start of their senior year, they already had job offers, and that continues. So, the student life and student services people do surveys, and we've got data to show that employers are highly satisfied in the high 80s to 90s.
Yeah, I saw that on your website, yeah. The University of Arizona website, the main website that people would go to, that parents or students would go to before considering whether to even give the U of A a look. And I think the figure I read this morning was 92%.
That's right, 92%.
Yeah.
And so if you talk to I always ask Taylor Lawrence, what can we do to help Raytheon? And I talked to the Caterpie, what can we do? Keep producing the great U of A students, particularly engineers and business students, because we'll hire as many as we can get. So, it's a great time in life. And I feel personally that all of us at the university who are fortunate enough to have a job because we've got students need to be surrogate family members and take the responsibility of helping the parents of our students take care of them, help them grow from children to adults, find their passion, grow intellectually and curiously. But at the end of the day, our primary job is to help them to be prepared to be disruptive problem solvers and to be competitive in the job market, which is changing from when you and I went to school.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, the role is changed so much about what happens to students after they graduate. It is a different world out there than what we were used to.
And I keep talking about this fourth industrial revolution.
Yeah, what concept is that? Tell our listeners, what is, in your opinion, what is that bottom line?
Well, the first industrial revolution was when, the steam engine was invented and mm-hmm. there was mechanistic things, and people were thinking, well, there are going to be no jobs. The second would have been around electricity. The third would have been the digital revolution, and people would argue we're still in the digital industrial revolution. But it's become more than just iPhones and computers, and it's become a convergence now, entering into this nascent period of the fourth industrial revolution, where there's a convergence of digital, physical, and biological science. So think about automated cars. Think about automated trucks that Caterpillar's developing. Think about the implantable devices we put in that are streaming data. So that's a physical pacemaker or defibrillator that's streaming data from being implanted into a human being back to physicians or nurses that can help care for patients. So these are all important things that are happening. It's about flying drones out in fields and looking for bollworm infestation in our cotton crops. It's about the ability to look at leadership characteristics, communication skills, critical and creative thinking skills that employers want. And so that brings all parts of the university together to help us focus on our students achieving their hopes and dreams.
We were talking with Jim Cantrell, who runs Vector Space here. Jim is doing such a great job with and so innovative things here in Tucson with Vector and what they're doing with these satellite launches of a satellite the size of a loaf of bread.
Right.
And Jim was talking about the coming revolution, a lot following up on what you're talking about with the automated transportation systems that we're now seeing with trucks, with driverless trucks, basically.
Right.
We're going to see the same thing with satellites.
Yes. Yeah. And so the governor hosted a conference, it was probably a month ago, I think, in Phoenix. And I got a chance to go to the dinner. It was at the time of the last ABOR meeting at Arizona State University. And I got to go over
to the Board of Regents meeting, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Got to go over to the dinner, and I had dinner with a whole room of venture capitalists and private equity people and commercial people who told me that space, that there's some private equity and venture capital money that the only thing they're investing in is space, and that mm-hmm. You know, you get headlines about Elon Musk and mm-hmm. about Bezos and Richard Branson and all that. But they said the place is Tucson. Mm-hmm. The place is Tucson. And I said, well, what's the business model of this? And they said Vector is the place because they have got the technology to do it in a cost-effective manner. But
they are doing it and they're going to be doing it.
And they're talking about manufacturing.
Yep.
in
yes, they are.
Microgravity mm-hmm. and all kind of things. So it couldn't be more exciting to be part of that in here in Tucson.
All right, we're going to continue with our conversation with the president of the University of Arizona, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation with Dr. Robbins. We'll take our break right here and be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition on May 2nd. Some exciting news from one of our sponsors, one of our fine sponsors, Green Things, my favorite nursery for all things green. Well, they've teamed up with Zocalo. Zocalo at 2924 East Broadway, near the corner of Country Club and Broadway. Zocalo will be moving to the Green Things location, as Green Things has acquired Zocalo and all of that wonderful merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. So right now would be a great opportunity. Take advantage of their pre-moving sale of all that Zocalo merchandise over at the store near the corner of Country Club and Broadway before they move over to Green Things on River Road. So exciting things happening with my friends at Green Things, Jan and Jack, the owners. Let's welcome now back to the program the University of Arizona President, Dr. Robbins, with us. Dr. Robbins, we need to talk about a very difficult year for the University of Arizona's athletic department. Is the ship being righted? Is there light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, yeah, I think it. You know, there were obviously some difficulties and distractions and disappointments in this year, but I think you know, and I have to say, I just read an article about the Pac-12 in general. Wasn't a great year for the Pac-12. I mean, you know, we didn't really have the representation again in the playoffs for football. We didn't have, you know, Final Four team, and it was really a disappointing year, I think, for our basketball program, because of course there was all kind of focus and talk about the investigation But there was also such high expectations. I remember this time, or the tournament time last year, having great anticipation about coming to take over this job, and them not getting back home to the Final Four. Well, you can just imagine my disappointment in that first round loss. But I can tell
you, 'cause you're a big sports fan.
I am.
You were really looking forward to kind of a huge for a big year for the basketball team.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. But you know, Coach Miller is a tremendous coach. I support him. I'm glad that he's our coach. And you know, I listen to all this stuff about you know, Coach Miller's not going to have players. All these talking heads or pundits who say, well, University of Arizona is not even going to win a game in the Pac-12 competition. That's rubbish. That's crazy talk.
I think the team will be very competitive.
I think they will be too. And I'm hoping. And, of course, we got Coach Sumlin coming in, and he's going to be on your show
soon. Yes, he is. We're going to visit with him for a half an hour and not just talk sports. I want to talk about who he is and where he came from and what is his ethical compass. Yeah. And that's what I want to talk about.
Well,
I mean, I love sports, but there's more to this than the sports hire, and I think you understand that as well as anybody.
Absolutely, and you know, both of his parents were educators, so that was what you know, Dave and I were looking for when we were hiring a new coach, and so Coach Sumlin is gonna be tremendous for our program and really developing the lives of our young men on that team, because you know, as the commercial says, 98% of them are going to do something else other than play in the NFL, which we need to prepare them for to get job, like we talked about earlier.
And Athletic Director Hickey had a big job, as did you, really, kind of inheriting some of these issues. And I know Mr. Hickey, Dave, is really – he's pretty much taking the program on the road to meet with people all over the state.
That's right. And you know, I am so fortunate that I inherited from President Hart these incredible individuals at the university that I get to work with. And Dave is, you know, I couldn't imagine a guy to be yoked to for this first year. I keep saying, you know, it can only get easier from here on. But we've got great people. He's got great staff and incredible coaches and tremendous student athletes. I mean, I could tell you stories. I can't tell you an individual story of all 500 of our athletes, but I bet you I could get close to, you know, 50 to 75 of them, of people that I've gotten to know and helped in a small way to mentor. I can think of
you're saying there are 500
Division I student athletes.
So much of the focus is usually on a few basketball players or a few football players. People don't realize that's a lot of people that are.
Oh, our gymnastic team, our baseball team, our softball team, golf teams, cross country, swimming. Oh my gosh, the resurgence of the swimming program with the return of Augie Bush. But there are people that I students who that just in my little world, tremendous joy in seeing a couple of them get into medical school or go on to law school or business school, and they will always think there was great value and enjoy the time that they spent at University of Arizona.
Let's see if we can work a quick question in. Greg has called us for Dr. Robbins. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, thanks, Bill and Dr. Robbins. Nice to meet you this way. Just this past week or so ago, there was a sportscaster calling a game, and Russell Westbrook with the Thunder, he's coming down court, and the sportscaster says, and he's out of his cotton picking mind. He made another... And as a result of that, there was backlash, because you can't say cotton picking mind, especially with a black basketball player. So my question is, what are your guys' response to the fact that he had to apologize, and have we gone too far in society wondering about diversity?
Okay.
There was a beep or something in the middle of the call. You're saying that the sportscaster had to apologize.
Yes, sir. In other words, by saying, you know, he didn't mean anything by it. Clearly, it's an expression, but of course, it for some folks, it brings back memories of cotton picking by Negroes in the South.
Okay,
I don't think that crossed his mind.
All right.
Yeah, I would agree. He probably wasn't thinking about that, and it was an expression. But look, you know, we live in a world of almost immediate accountability for all of our actions, and you know, good for him that he apologized and moved on with things. And I think Russell Westbrook wouldn't have been offended by that, but I don't know. But you know, it's ironic to watch and see how Kanye West is making so much news here, and it's sort of a reverse situation that he's being called out for the things that he's doing. But
I like the way you put that, this new world of immediate accountability. Yep. I like that. That is so true. We're going to have to wrap it up, Dr. Robbins. So graduation next Friday, commencement, and then moving on. And you'll be around all summer, I assume.
Absolutely. My favorite part of the year is finally getting warm.
I know. You love that warm weather.
I do.
All right. Thanks a lot. Great to see you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All righty. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw. We do now 6 hours a day here during the week, Monday through Friday, of local talk, including Mic Check with Mike Shaw, 4 to 6, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9, then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow with the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Dr. Robbins and my friend Bob Dio on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing, we hope you have a great afternoon and evening.